every breath we take, gracious God, we rest in you. We thank you that you are with us. We know that no thing that we face is beyond you. And so we lay before you these gifts, and we pray that you would take these gifts in your great power, that they would be multiplied, that not only would we be drawn closer to you here today, but that others would come to know that amazing light and that love that is found in Jesus Christ. We put all of that in your hands, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed that you can look at the exact same thing as someone else and see something completely different? To give you a for example, what do you see here? What do you think? Go ahead and call it out. What do you see? Okay, so I heard two Batmans. Two people facing each other, and then did I hear something else over here? Wolverine. Do you see it? So it depends on how you look at it. You can either see Wolverine straight on, or you can see two Batmans facing each other. So I have, there you go, you got it. I'm proud of you, it's good. I've got a number of these, and I want you to just yell out to me whatever it is you see when the picture comes up. So here's the next one. What do you see? A lady turned sideways, a younger lady, or an old lady. Do you see it? You could see both. An old lady and a younger lady. Okay. You've probably seen this one before. What do you see? I heard a rad duck. a duck bit. A rabbit or a duck, depending on how you're looking at it. All right, so in this one, you can see, what do you think? So two people facing each other, an older couple, aren't they adorable? They're staring lovingly into each other's eyes. Or if you look a little bit closer, you've got a guy playing a guitar. And I think that's a lady or another guy maybe right next to him. Yeah? All right, what's the, let me see this one. So this looks like a cat walking on stairs. Here's my question. Is the cat going up the stairs or down the stairs? Up the stairs? I hear down the stairs. I don't know, depending on how you look at it, he could be going up or down the stairs. And I think I have one more. We've got a realist over here. He's like, you need to tell me right now. That is okay. Live with the uncertainty. So this is what we used to call back in the day a magic eye picture. So the first person to tell me, you look at it a certain way and you'll see a 3D image. So who's the first person who can tell me what the 3D image is? Can anybody see it? A rainbow. Oh my goodness, I love you. I definitely could see a rainbow there. But there's another image if you look really closely. Let me see if I can do it. You kind of have to like cross your eyes and then look at it and then... It's a lot of dots. If you look at it just the right way, you'll see a shark. Have you all ever done these pictures before? Sometimes if you hold it really close and then back it up, it helps. But for all of these pictures, it depends on your perspective, on how you look at it, right? You could see all of these pictures a number of different ways. And so our scripture today is from Matthew chapter 2. And in Matthew chapter 2, we hear the story of the visit of the Magi or the wise men. This is actually today, this is our last Sunday where we celebrate Christmas. The 12 days of Christmas lead up to what we call the Epiphany. which is the coming of the wise men. And so in Matthew chapter 2, it talks about the wise men coming to visit Jesus. And I want to read that for you. And I've got Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 2 up there. You're welcome if you'd like to follow on along in your own Bible, or in your, you can follow on the screen too. You're welcome to do that. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version that says, "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, 'Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.'" It's interesting, if you really spend time looking at this scripture, it says that there were wise men from the east. So from the east, for them, was probably looking at Persia, which today was Iran. So these are men who came all the way from Iran. They walked or rode on camels or on, you know, whatever it was to get to Israel. And that would have been what is now today Israel. That would have been potentially months or years of a journey. And they did all of that for one purpose, and I don't know if you caught the purpose. The one purpose was to pay homage to the child who was born King of the Jews. Now, Matthew is an interesting book. If you want to know a little bit more about Jesus, we've got four Gospels in the Bible that tell us the story of Jesus. And so we've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And for Christmas, you all probably got a little more familiar with Luke, because in the Gospel of Luke, we hear that beautiful baby story of how Jesus arrived. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. There was no room for him. The angels sang. There was a manger, animals. Like, that whole story is in Luke chapter 2. Matthew gives us a different kind of vision or perspective. And Matthew does that time and time again. The book of Matthew zooms out. So it gives us this idea of what the wider picture is of when Jesus came here into this earth. You can see that starting at Matthew chapter 1. So if you go in your Bibles, and I hope you will, open up to Matthew chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we actually are giving away New Testaments, and everybody can have a free one. But you go to Matthew chapter 1. It has this genealogy of Jesus. It sounds pretty boring, actually. It's like, this person gave birth to this person, Obadiah gave birth to, or had so-and-so. But an interesting thing about that genealogy is that what it does is it opens up this bigger picture to make the point to us that there are all of these people who have led up to this moment when Jesus has arrived. Look at this bigger picture of history that has led up to this moment. And really interesting, actually, if you pay attention to that genealogy, so many times in the Bible when it talks about genealogies, it just gives the guys. That was a thing. So they only really cared about who the dad was, and so it would list the guys. But in Matthew's genealogy, we don't just have the guys. We have four key women who are mentioned very prominently. And of those women, two of them are foreigners. They're not even from Israel area. They're not even Jewish. And so again, Matthew is making this point. Look at the bigger picture. Look at all of the people from all over the world who have led to this moment where Jesus would come. And then, rather than telling us the beautiful birth story of Jesus, like Luke does, Matthew fast forwards to the Magi. It again takes this wider view and says, but look at this. Over in the east, these men looked at the stars and they saw that a child had been born. And they traveled all that way just to see Jesus. Matthew invites us to take this bigger view, this wider perspective, to see the larger picture of what Jesus means for the world. Sometimes for us, it's hard to see the bigger picture. We have a God who not only sees our time and place, but who sees the wise men across the world. He sees every little minute detail and has the entire world, all of history, in the palm of his hand. But for us, we're locked into a time and a place. We're limited. And sometimes I think it's hard for us to see the bigger picture of where we fit into the world or into God's overarching narrative. We have decisions after decisions that we have to make. That really, we only have the information in front of us. Now, when I was a kid, we used to read these Choose Your Own Adventure books. Does anybody ever read Choose Your Own Adventure books anymore? Okay, a few. So in a Choose Your Own Adventure book, you read it so far, and then it gives you a choice. Like, open the door or walk into the other room. And then it'll say, turn to page 20 if you want to open the door. And so then if you turn to page 20, it tells you what happens. So I have for you two choices. And this is actually inspired by Robert Frost's poem, Two Roads Diverged in a Yellow Wood. And sorry, we cannot travel both of them. So we're going to look down both of them as far as we can. They both look about the same. I'm giving you the shortcut version. So road number one, road number two. How many of you want to pick road number one? Raise your hand. Okay, how many people are going to pick road number two? Wow, we have a lot of road number two people. Okay, so road number one. Oh, I'm sorry, there's a bear. You were eaten. I apologize for that. All right, road number two. You go down the road a little bit further, come out of the woods, and there is an amusement park with everyone you know. Congratulations. It was sort of a toss-up, wasn't it? You could pick either road. You had no idea what was going to happen. What might have been helpful is if you were able to see the larger picture, though, right? If you could have zoomed back or maybe Googled it, then you could have figured out which road to go down. But unfortunately, we're kind of locked into a time and place. We have difficulty seeing that far ahead. And that's true not just with directions, but it's true with our year. We look towards 2019, but it's hard to see beyond this moment right now. It's hard to see beyond our circumstance to know what are the decisions God is calling us to make for the whole entire year. If we want to make good decisions, we want to look to the place that gives us the answers, the bigger picture. I have a comic here that is based on the two roads diverged. And it says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one my iPhone satellite map showed would be the quickest route to the nearest Panda Express. If we want to make good decisions, you want to find directions someplace, I say, okay, Google, directions to the nearest Panera's Bread, and it tells me where to go. You want to make good decisions for your year, however, Google doesn't even have the whole picture. We know one place, one God who holds the bigger picture in his hands. And if we want to make good decisions, we look to God for that vision, for that direction. God alone can give us the direction. And for us, we need that direction because usually it's not two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Usually it's more like 10 intersections that all look exactly the same. And we could pick any of them. And who knows, maybe there's a bear or an amusement park. We have no idea. And so without God, we are lost. We need that vision, that bigger picture. God is able to do that. God can see the bigger picture, the balcony. We see that in Matthew. We see that with the wise men. The wise men were just nobodies. So if you were actually to translate what they do, they were considered kind of like astrologers. Do any of you remember the Psychic Friends Network? These would have been like the guys who work for the Psychic Friends Network, right? And everybody thinks they're total quacks, you know, wherever you are. Very well respected in Persia, in the East. But they were nobodies where they were going. And in fact, were, you know, kind of comical and not very well respected. And in scripture, they magi, M-A-G-I, is like magician. It has the same root word, and there are places where it says magi in the scripture are better off dead. Like, that's how they were regarded. And yet, these are the people that God speaks to. God sees them. Not only does God see them, God sends a star just for them. A star that no one else could interpret or know but them. To invite them in to know Jesus a little bit better. We have a God who not only sees us, but sees what no one else in the world sees. He is the God of Carmel United Methodist Church, but he is also the God of Sierra Leone, where I am heading in a week. He is the God of all of our brothers and sisters all over the world. But in spite of that bigger picture, God also invites us to see the details. That's a tricky balance, to see the bigger picture, but also to pay attention to the small details. We have a God who, it says in Scripture, has every hair on our heads counted. He knows every single hair on our heads. And yet, he also can see the vastness of our universe, of all time and place. God is that big. Oh my goodness, there's some adorable pictures up there. I'm going to have you switch it off those pictures, though, if you don't mind. Thank you. It's hard when they're so adorable. You'll get those in a minute, no worries. We're invited to see the details, to notice the unnoticed. And if we pay attention to Matthew chapter 2, there's a lot of details that actually jump out at us. Like, did you hear me mention the number 3 wise men anywhere in that scripture? It doesn't actually say there were 3 wise men. It says there were 3 gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we assume that means 3 wise men, but it could have been 2 wise men, or it could have been 20 wise men that were traveling. We have no idea. It doesn't say. And also, if we're paying attention, it doesn't say that they showed up at the stable. It actually says specifically that they came to the house where Jesus was living. And so by the time the wise men arrived, Jesus and Mary and Joseph are living in a house somewhere in Bethlehem. They've moved out of that stable. It could have been years after that. Paying attention to those details, it might not seem that important, except what that conveys to us is that these men had to walk potentially months and years just to get to that place where Jesus was. When they get to Bethlehem, they do what a lot of us really, really struggle to do. They stop in to see King Herod so they can ask directions. Years of traveling, and they stop to ask directions. They ask King Herod, do you have any idea? The star brought us this far. But, you know, stars are pretty imprecise. It's hard to tell where that star is really shining over. And we want to know, is there a prophecy? Is there some kind of indication you can give us about where to go from here? And King Herod tells them of a prophecy. And then he says very slyly, I'd love it if after you find this baby, you come back and tell me so I can go and pay him honor as well. King Herod really didn't want to go see Jesus for that reason. He wanted to snuff out his competition. But after hearing that direction, the Magi, they head out, they find Jesus. And then finally we see, after finding Jesus, after giving Jesus those gifts, they have a dream from God not to return to Herod, and they listen and change directions. They had a vision of where they were going. They were following the star, but they hear God, and they move and return home by a different way. For us, if we want to make good decisions, we have to see the bigger picture. We also have to notice the details. Ponder and notice the unseen things. We have to be willing to ask direction. And for us, that's from God. Sometimes it's from each other. We can help each other in community together. But once we've done all that, we have to be willing to go a different direction when it's not the place we thought we'd end up. I think that last part is the hardest part, because we get in our minds where we want to go and what we think we're doing, but it's no good seeking God's vision if we're not willing to actually go that way, even if that way is not what we expected to be doing. What do we see? When you look at a sky of stars, and I have a night sky here, what do you see? When I look at that sky, there are millions of stars in our sky. My personal knowledge is limited. I don't know the names of those stars. I can pick out maybe two constellations. But the wise men looked at that sky, and they saw one star out of place. They knew just enough. They noticed that little tiny change. And that star led them to a little child who was born to save. I can only imagine their lives were changed from that point on forever, all because they saw that star and followed where it led them. God gives us our own kinds of stars. God comes into our world giving us these signs, pushing us in different directions. And the question is, do we have the vision to see? Do we here at Carmel, now we get the adorable pictures, do you see Jesus in the world around you? I look at all of these incredible things that have happened. But the real question is, where do we see Jesus in the world around us? Where is God leading us to go in 2019? I have another slide as well. I really like the one with the dancing in the bottom left corner. We have a God who meets us in unexpected places, in unexpected ways. A God who sees and holds the entire world and yet sees one of us as well. Who has the very hairs on our head counted. We have a God who knows what way we need to go, who can see the bears in our path. And so the question is, are we listening and looking to God for our vision and direction for this next year? May it be so. May we see the wider picture. May we notice Jesus in our midst. May we have the courage to ask directions when we need it. And may we be willing to change direction when we realize we're headed the wrong way. As we contemplate that, in closing, I want to invite Amelia up. And I know our praise team is going to be getting into position pretty soon. But as I close in prayer today, I wanted to take a few moments. We have a team that's going to be heading out, and Amelia and I are part of that. Karen Gould is also part of that, and she's often over at Traditional. But we are joining Operation Classroom, and we're going to be working at Tayama Academy in Sierra Leone over the next 2 weeks. And you all are going to have fantastic Sundays. I'm super jealous I'm going to miss, because you are starting your mission series while we are in Sierra Leone, and I'm going to take lots of pictures and video. But entering into this, I feel like it's a good idea for us to enter in prayer and to pray for God's direction, not only for our congregation, for our team, as we head out to see the bigger picture and to learn from the people of Sierra Leone. And so if you would just bow your heads with me as I offer up a prayer. Most amazing God, I pray for your presence and direction in the year ahead. I pray for any here who are struggling, who have a big decision that they are on the brink of making. I pray, God, that you would guide and direct every step. We know, God, that you hold the bigger picture, and so we pray particularly for your direction in the coming year. I lift up our team that is heading to Sierra Leone and pray, God, that you would work within this team, that your will would be done, that we would see Jesus all around us, and that we would learn from this so that when we return, we truly can follow where you lead. We pray, God, in all things that you would be our guiding star. And we praise you because we know that wherever we go, there is no place we can run or hide from you. You are with us. And so we put all of this in your hands, God. In your name we pray. Amen.